Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Okay. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in our number two of the program here on Friday morning, the last Friday of June. When next you and I meet, it'll be July. Can you believe that? So we are taking your phone calls, 508-996-0500, app chat messages, open line voicemails on the presidential debate last night. And as I said at the beginning of the program, I don't think there's any way to characterize it for Joe Biden, except that it was a disaster. He got a lot of points out and got a lot of, you could say he won on some of the issues, but the fact of the matter is he just had to come out and look like he wasn't too old and too deficient for the job, and he failed at that. So, and I don't think it was, if you got peak Joe Biden and then had that performance from Donald Trump, Donald Trump doesn't come away from this debate as the winner. It's not so much, and Johnny One Note kind of pointed to it, and I think another caller pointed to it as well. It's not so much that it was Trump beat Biden, it was that Biden beat himself by coming out and looking the way that he did. So from all the reports that we're seeing, there's people in the Democrat Party that are concerned, that are trying to meet and plan about what to do, and this could throw everything in disarray. I do want to get to some of the app chat messages because we were getting phone calls, so I don't want you to think I was ignoring your app chat messages, but you can certainly send those anytime. Jeff in Fall River says, good morning, Tim. Embarrassing performance by our president in last night's debate. Biden is a pathological liar, weak and clearly unfit for president. I couldn't understand most of his remarks. Deb says, good morning, Tim. Deb here. There really is no choice. Fascism lasts a lot longer than inflation. I will take the guy who isn't a convicted felon, who stole classified documents and attempted a coup to overthrow the government. A bad debate performance is just that, a bad performance. There's a much bigger picture here. Look up Project 25. If the convicted felon gets in, there will never be another election. He will get rid of Social Security, Medicare, etc. CNN fact-checking came at 11:45 p.m. when most people had clicked them off. Shame on them. I never thought I would live in a country where they would embrace a felon, a traitor to this country that so many fought and died for. Well, I don't blame the fact-checkers for taking a little time because, they've got to get it right. You don't want to be the fact checker that gets it wrong. So I don't get too upset about that. I usually expect when there's something like that happens late at night, I expect the fact checking really to come the next day. I'm not looking for it in real time necessarily. If somebody on the panel afterwards can kind of do it in the moment, great. But, it's not the links that you need and the quotes that you need. That will usually come with a little bit of work. If it's a State of the Union speech or a plan speech, they can be a little bit faster with that because they can get a copy of that speech ahead of time to start working on it. A lot of times, you know, like a presidential speech, the White House puts it on the website. So they would have the opportunity to get a jump start on this. But this, it's real answers in real time. So they've just got to react in real time. So it does take a little while. Also, let's see, we got another one here. Jim says, Trump said he would have the right to retribution against his enemies, but his retribution would be the success of the country. Fact check it. And you know, he's right. He's going back to what Sketty had said, that he would get retribution, but that was the way that he phrased it, that his retribution would be, you know, the success of the country. But also, Jim, I'd be a little bit, you know, I'm just going to say, don't start playing that game of getting upset and nitpicking every little thing about, you know, fact check this, fact check that, because there was a lot of stuff that Donald Trump said last night that was absolutely false. And same with Joe Biden. I'm not saying that neither one. And I was, as I said, I was reading one of the fact checks this morning, and while they had a little bit more fact checking done for Trump, there was a lot there for Biden too. So I don't know if that's the game that you want to play necessarily, but to your point, there was more to what was said than just the way that Sketty had quoted it. So by the way, that was a great answer. Like that's the way to put it. When somebody's asking you about, well, you know, you said you're going to get retribution. Yeah, retribution is going to be the success of the country. That's perfect. That's all you need right there. Stick with that theme. Don't go back to saying, you know, and, you know, when I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and they'll find out what it was like when they did it to me. Like, don't go down that path. You gave people the perfect answer right there. As much as it's human instinct to say, oh, yeah, you did that to me. Not that Joe Biden did it to him, no matter what you think. But he thinks that. And if that's the way that you feel, you know, it's okay to be the bigger person in that situation and not say, I'm going to do the same thing back to you. The other part of the debate last night that I thought was kind of, I don't know, In a way, I was like, this is really devolved into this. But also, I kind of liked it a little bit because it showed a little humanity, I guess, between the two. But when they were going back and forth about their golf game, that was pretty funny. And I thought both of them got a good zinger in on each other, you know. And I really thought that was kind of good-natured barbs at a time when they'd already been going after each other, you know, kind of viciously. And I was like, see, if the whole thing had been like that, you would have had a much more engaging. See, the problem is they're like, oh my God, this debate is going to change everything for the election. Oh, people are going to be in so much pain. I don't know how many people watched the debate. I don't know how many people actually stuck through it, because when they started watching the first couple minutes and they realized, like, you might have people that saw Joe Biden's, you know, early answer there, we beat Medicaid, and said, you know what? Nope, not doing this. I don't want to, this is dumb. I don't want to listen to this. And might have turned it off. But I do think you had a lot of people that just didn't watch it because it wasn't dramatic enough for them. It didn't hold their interest. One couldn't talk over the other, so it didn't have that Jerry Springer WWE feel to it. It didn't feel like a reality TV show. This wasn't the Real Housewives flipping over tables and pointing fingers at each other, which is what television viewers want to see. I won't go so far to say, you know, that's what voters want to see. Voters want answers about the issues. But the people who watch television want to see television things, and that's what they're expecting to see out of this. And when there's no fireworks, they say this is boring. And I'm going to be honest with you, I watched a lot of that debate with that same thought in mind. This is boring. Like, how many people aren't paying attention to this because it's not what they expected it to be? Now, if you want to be an informed voter, you still watch it anyway, but how many people that go and vote are actually informed voters? But I thought the golf game part was pretty good. Trump was like, I just won two club championships, and not the senior championship, the regular championship. I thought that was pretty funny, like how he put that caveat in there. And then I was kind of waiting for Biden to say, well, you own the club. Like, How many 80s movies did you have to see where the bad guy, the villain in the movie, owns the country club and is the best golfer, and everybody else just lets them win all the time? I mean, that just seems like the theme of like 90% of 80s movies that had golf in it. I'm not calling Donald Trump the villain here. I'm just saying in those movies, the villain owned the country club. So it just seems like there's some levity in that moment. Joe Biden saying, well, I was an 8 handicap, but I got down to a 6 handicap when I was vice president. And Trump is like, this is looking at him incredulously, like he doesn't believe that. And I don't know that you want to say, oh, when I was vice president, I played so much golf, I got better. Like, I don't think that that's necessarily helping your case. But also keep in mind that most of the country doesn't know what that means. So you wasted a couple minutes there talking about something that didn't matter. But I actually thought it was funny. And I thought that it was, you know, showed some humanity between the two of them. I think if you want to have something that is going to be a ratings getter, and let's face it, everybody wants to throw their hat into this ring now, right? CNN hosts a debate. You know, all the other networks want to host a debate. Why doesn't ESPN want to host I'll use radio air quotes, debate? They said they would play golf against each other. Somebody arranged that. Somebody set it up. And like Biden even said, he goes, I can drive more, you know, longer than he can. Just make it a driving contest. I mean, I don't know that all of America would want to sit and watch an entire golf game, but they'd watch them teeing up a shot and seeing who has the longest drive. And Joe Biden, I have to say, I don't believe that you would have a longer drive than Donald Trump. That's just my gut feeling. I think he's got a little bit more power behind his swing. He's out there every day doing it. He's got the golfing muscles honed. I think he's probably, you might beat him in the mental part of the game. You know, you could say that. I would never say as myself, you know, I bowl, but I would never say to somebody who bowls every day, I think I could beat you. So I don't know, but it was fun. It was funny. 508-996-0500. We don't just have to talk about that. It's going to be a lot of the discussion that you hear on the radio today. Chris will cover it extensively. Barry will certainly cover it extensively. The Howie Carr Show, I'm sure, will cover it extensively. So if you need a little bit of a respite, we can be that too. But I just know that people are looking to react to what they saw. I saw a lot of comments from people on social media, people that I normally don't see. You know, a previous caller referenced this. But this is the same in my experience. A lot of people who don't normally comment on political things who are saying, oh, like this is a disaster. People who I know are very much, hardcore Democrats or hardcore liberals who are saying, oh, it can't be this guy. I don't think you're hearing anybody trying to spin it. You know, I think you hear people trying to put a little bit of reason and rationale into things. Like, for example, the app chat message we got from Deb, a bad debate performance is just that, a bad performance. And do you want to say that one bad night is indicative of what Joe Biden would do in the next 4 years? I mean, this was your biggest chance to prove that those fears are not valid, and you failed at doing that. But do you feel like one night? And here's the other thing, too. As much as Joe Biden is a guy who is a stubborn person and who has the things that he wants to do, I do think it's a collaborative team in his White House. I do think that he listens to other people, and I do think that he surrounded himself with people that can give him good advice. I mean, I'm not talking just people in the cabinet, but people, advisors who are around him. I don't know that Donald Trump does that same thing. He certainly didn't in his first term as president. So you kind of have to look at that too. Like, okay, so I'm a little bit worried about this guy, but I also know he's got a good group around him that I believe in. As opposed to with Donald Trump, you can say, what I see is what I get. I mean, I'm pretty sure that most Trump supporters would say the same thing. You know, he's the guy that's running the show. And that if people make suggestions, he might take those suggestions under advisement, but ultimately, he's making all the decisions. And it'll be what he wants to do, no matter what. And I think with Joe Biden, it's a little bit different. I think he's a guy that can compromise even within his own administration. Whatever the outcome of this election is, that's my hope, is that we can get back to some more bipartisanship about things. Because listen, you're not going to have a Trump family dynasty in the White House like everybody keeps saying. Oh, yeah. And then after Trump, then Ivanka. Oh, then Don Jr. Oh, it's going to be a Trump dynasty. It's not going to be that. And it's not going to be that for a good reason, a very good reason. If you're a Republican, you should feel this way. You've got a lot of good candidates. You've got a lot of people that you could see running for that job. You've got a farm team. Whereas the Democrats don't seem to have that. So, you know, you should be happy about the fact that it doesn't have to continue to be a Trump dynasty. But if you're going to try to get back to some normalcy of politics, you're going to have to do that even as Trump is in the White House, if he is. You can build the party around one man if you're trying to get that one man 4 more years. But the second 4 years always has to be about building for the future. So hopefully we will get back to some more bipartisanship. Let's see. We got another couple more app chat messages here that I will read. Just give me a second to load this one up. This is Rob in Acushnet, who says, from here on, this debate will be known as the Caddyshack debate, the Judge versus Rodney. Yes, Judge Smales versus, what was Rodney's character's name? I can't think of it. I immediately, the first thing that pops in my head is Chester, but that was his character in Ladybugs. I'll think of it. It's on the tip of my tongue. And then Jeff says, this is Jeff in New Bedford, says, I think the mute button was a real problem for Biden. There were moments where Trump got to filibuster, putting lies out there on too many topics to address when Biden's turn came around. I don't know. I think that the bigger issue here was that the moderators should have, the format should have been a little bit different, where they should have had the leeway to let something go. See, here in talk radio, if you're going to moderate a discussion, you're going to come into, let's just say I've got two people on both sides of on opposite sides of an issue, and I bring them in here and we're going to talk about it back and forth. And I've got my questions, my points that I want to ask them. But a good moderator knows that when something is good and going back and forth, you've got to give that a little breathing room. You also have to keep things on schedule because you've got a lot to cover. But you've also got to give it some breathing room too. And you've got to be willing to strike some questions. I thought some of those questions from the moderators required too much setup. And if it required too much setup, the first debate isn't the time to really get into it, although it's probably going to be the only debate. So what I would have liked to have seen is a little bit more discretion. They said at the beginning that it was their discretion, but they didn't use it. They went to that next question that they had. And most of the time that question got blown off by either candidate to continue on the back and forth. As I said earlier, I think Trump did that to dodge some questions, but I also think in a lot of cases, he just had more to say on what was being discussed and felt that that was more important to finish than to address the question that was being asked. So I would have liked to have seen more discretion there in letting them say, you know what, just speak on that. You might also then get into the position that Chris Wallace was in 2020, where he did kind of let some of that go back and forth. And then when he did stop to somebody because they had to move on for time purposes, people are like, oh, well, look at what he's doing. He's trying to control the conversation. No, I've got a schedule to keep. It's the same reason why I feel bad if somebody calls in and says something that I obviously don't agree with. And I'm like, well, I've got to hold you there because I've got to take a break. Well, because I have to take a break. And I push these breaks to the very last second a lot of the time. And you don't see what I'm doing behind the scenes here, where I'm, you know, moving stuff around and doing stuff and doing this and skipping coming back from the commercial of music because I'm trying to make sure that you have enough time, but that I've also got things I've got to do, including taking this break right here. So we'll be back in just a few moments. And callers, I'm just going to ask for you to hang on because I'm late getting to the news. Phil Devitt's waiting for me. He's giving me that look. He's looking at me like Trump was looking at Biden as Biden was rambling on with some of his answers last night. Take it away, Phil Devitt.
Biden and Trump spar in their first presidential debate. Major rulings ahead from the Supreme Court. And some rock and roll history hits the auction block.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
While President Biden called Donald Trump a sucker and a loser during Thursday night's presidential debate,
he was standing with his four-star general, and he told him, he said, I don't want to go in there because they're a bunch of losers and suckers. My son was not a loser, was not a sucker. You're the sucker. You're the loser.
During the debate hosted by CNN, Biden referenced remarks Trump reportedly once made about dead American soldiers. Trump denied the accusation.
If everything he does is a lie, it's misinformation and disinformation.
Biden was referring to claims made by Trump's former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly that Trump made the comment about service members back in 2018. Now, the first presidential debate of 2024 was arguably unlike anything the nation has seen before. Biden stumbled at times during the night, which reportedly is sparking concern among Democrats over his age and ability to take on Trump in November. Meanwhile, Trump seemed to try and deflect his actions during the attack on the U.S. Capitol, ignored some questions and dismissed accusations that he had an affair with adult film star Stormy Daniels. The Supreme Court still has major rulings to release this term, including today and Monday. One of the biggest remaining cases involves presidential immunity. The case impacts some of former President Trump's pending cases, including his alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Another case is over obstruction charges against January 6th Capitol rioters. Millions of people will pack the airports today ahead of the 4th of July holiday. The TSA says it expects to screen over 32 million flyers now through Monday, July 8th, and that today will be the peak day for holiday flights with over 3 million flyers expected. AAA, meanwhile, predicts that a record 60 million people will travel by car over the holidays, which is nearly 3 million more than last year. Walgreens will close what it calls a significant number of stores across the United States. The drugstore chain made the announcement Thursday and said it plans to close underperforming stores as part of a multi-year strategy. Walgreens did not specify how many of its stores will close, but CEO Tim Wentworth told the Wall Street Journal that it will be a meaningful percent. The NFL is being ordered to pay almost $5 billion in damages after being ruled to have violated antitrust laws. A jury in Los Angeles found Thursday that the league conspired with DirecTV and other network partners to increase the price of the NFL Sunday ticket package from the 2011 through 2022 seasons. And the famous blue suede shoes worn by Elvis Presley are up for auction. Mark Mayfield has the details.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do it.
The iconic footwear is up for auction today and tomorrow. British auction house Henry Aldridge and Son is handling the sale. The size 10.5 shoes were worn by Elvis on the Steve Allen Show in 1956. Bids start at $70,000. The shoes are expected to bring in around $150,000. I'm Mark Mayfield.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox looking at back in the win column after having their series finale against the Blue Jays suspended due to the weather. The Sox begin a three-game set against the San Diego Padres tonight at Fenway Park. First pitch at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Look for tons of sunshine from start to finish today. Just a splendid summer day with a high near 77. For tonight, partly cloudy skies. Your low will be near 57. And for Saturday, look for a blend of sun and clouds, a high in the mid to upper 70s. Meanwhile, Sunday will feature clouds, showers, and the chance of a thunderstorm. It will be muggy with a high of 82. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And welcome back in. We're going to go right back to the phones in just a moment. But I also want to remind you all that we are giving away tickets. Our final day today to enter to win tickets to see the Doobie Brothers at Xfinity Center in Mansfield coming up on Monday, August 12th. Tickets still available at LiveNation.com and Ticketmaster.com. But we've still got one more pair to give away. And if you would like to enter to win, you can do so at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Tim's tickets all summer long are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They're located on Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. They're the home of the Purple Dot where you can try before you buy. And they just got something in, something that I think I might have to go get myself some. Gunpowder Tea. An exotic oriental botanical special edition. Now, gunpowder tea is an Irish gin. It's very, very good. Gunpowder Irish gin, rather. And so now you're making this with this exotic oriental botanical tea. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to get out there and try that. But that's just one of the great things that they have at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, because they get those hard-to-find and unique things that you can't find anywhere else. And that's why they have the Purple Dot, so that you can try them before you buy them. So that you can have something that you didn't even know existed. And they have tastings and special pop-up events to let you know all about that. You can also now join their new Rackhouse Club, a monthly membership club for whiskey lovers and enthusiasts, and so many benefits to that. Head on down to Stevie's Wine and Spirits and talk with them about that and everything else that they have going on down there. And again, you can try it before you buy it. What's better than that? So visit them. Stevie's Wine and Spirits on Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, right next to Traveler's Ale House. And you will be able to try before you buy and get an education as you are sampling some of that. You learn all about it. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram so that you can keep up to date with all of their great pop-up events and promotions. And maybe I'll see you over there. Don't forget, too, they will be open on the 4th of July from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
What's going on, Lamone?
Just living and loving. There's a friend of mine, Christine W. She's a good friend of mine. She's got a beautiful voice. If you guys ever get to hear her, she's like her voice. I think I put like my top voices of women voices of her. That's of all time. Now, mind you, it's been a while since I heard her. She's got a new record coming out. It's a remake of Smooth Operator. So, it's not as much use of her beautiful talent, but it's still good. But she's going to be here on the 5th, and she's going to be a judge. She called me and told me she's going to be here. She said she's going to be a judge on the RuPaul Drag Show, whatever that is.
RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes, that's it. And no, I'm not going to be in drag, so I'm just throwing it out there. I was drunk, I was young, I needed the money. Those years ago. But anyways, so what happened, she's going to be there, and I'm telling if anybody gets a chance to look at her, you see her, She was also in the video with I did with Bono. You know, still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the video too. You can see her on the billboard. Christine W and the Sting. She was up on the billboards when you're walking down Fremont.
Did you watch the debate last night, Lamone?
I watched a little bit of it. It was kind of comical. It was like Harvey Korman and Tim Conway. No,
that's a good way of putting it. I would have said probably Statler and Waldorf, but that might be a more apt comparison.
Too ageist. I don't want to be too ageist on them, But then again, let's say I'm to these younglings out there who I'm talking about, Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. Oh, geez, oy vey. So, like I said, yeah, do you see the resemblance? It's perfect. Who would be Tim Conway and who would be Harvey Korman to you?
I think it's pretty obvious that Donald Trump is Harvey Korman and Joe Biden is Tim Conway.
Exactly. So you can use that when you tell everybody about your perfect description of last night's debate.
All right, I will do that.
Okay. And I'd like to say hello to Phil over there. I know he's sitting up there all quiet and stuff. How do you feel? Are you in the booth? I guess not.
Can you hear me, Phil? Okay, so Lamone is giving her a shout out.
Hey, Phil, what's shaking, player?
No, you're not on, Phil.
Oh,
there he is.
Hey, Phil, what's shaking, fella?
Oh, I don't know. My whole body and soul.
Well, that's always good. Don't have a shaking soul. That's good when you make your milkshakes.
That's right.
Come to the yard. That's right. Better than you. All right, I'm tripping. So yeah. So did you hear what I was saying about the RuPaul drag race?
No, I missed that. I was out of the booth for a second.
Lamone's going to be a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I can see that.
No, well, yeah, I hope not. People will pay for that. Like I said, I was drunk, I was young, and I needed the money. So that was back in the day. So anyway, but like I was saying, there's a beautiful friend of mine named Christine W. She's a real good singer. I put her like in top six of female singers.
We got to hold you there, Lamone, because I got it. He can listen on the podcast. He can listen back when he's done working.
He's not going to listen. He's a busy man. He's got so many.
Well, that's the thing. We got to let him go. He's got more. He's got to go do the news for Fun 107.
That's it. I'll catch up and I'll see you on Drag Race.
Yay! Okay.
All right. We got to hold you there, Lamone. You have a great weekend.
God bless everybody out there in New Bedford land, and may the good Lord smile upon you.
Take care. Don't forget
to talk to your mom and your dad. You go home this weekend.
Remember? I'm going to see them this weekend.
And remember what we talked about, right? Okay.
I know. That my mom's going to say, I have no idea who you're talking about, but my dad might have something to say.
Your mom's going to say, hey, that kid, I know who he is. Your mom's going to be like that. I'm like, yeah, let's go, Mama, tell her. Yeah, I like that. So I want everybody to have a good day and enjoy
as well.
Your weekend, everybody.
You too.
Are you guys expecting any rain this weekend?
I think yes. I think Saturday and Sunday there's going to be some rain. But I got to hold you there. You have a good day.
Okay.
All right.
Send some of that rain this way.
All right. I will do that. All right. That's Lamone. I got to take a break. We will be right back. Billy Joel might have been singing about himself there, but he certainly wasn't speaking about either of the candidates in the debate last night. But we're getting some more app chat messages coming in on the WBSM app. Barb in New Bedford says, Biden did too much memorizing that he couldn't remember in the end. He appeared nervous right from the beginning. Obviously, he has memory problems. And then DSY in Dartmouth said, Biden was feeble. Unfortunately, I still hate Trump and would never vote for him. I think they should have allowed Kennedy to be there. And I wonder if you are whoever would host the next debate, if they do have one, if you don't want to include RFK Jr. in it. Just so that you don't have a repeat of what happened last night. And I do think whoever gets the next debate, if they do have one, is going to say, you know what, we're not going to mute the microphones. Let them talk over each other, because that's the drama that people were looking for. But there are some other stories that we can address and discuss this morning, including the fact that the FBI has been spending the last few days, most of this week, in Westport, working in the woods alongside Route 88. And we've heard reports that the FBI is there, that the DEA is there, that they have the white tents set up, that they have buckets that they're coming out of the woods with, and that there's something serious going on. DEA agents showing up. We know that Westport Police and State Police have been there as well. I reached out to our FBI contact, the spokesperson for the FBI Boston Division, yesterday morning, and she got back to me and said that it is the agency's evidence response team. And she said, we are searching for specific evidence and there is no threat to public safety. So they are out there because there's something out there in the woods. And I've heard a lot of speculation about what's going on. Nothing has been confirmed. It is an ongoing investigation, so they're not commenting any further at this time. We will get the story once they feel like they can address it. But for now, all that they will say on the record is that the FBI is out there searching for evidence. And that they apologize for any disruptions to traffic. In fact, Kristen Sotera said, we recognize the traffic disruptions this may cause, and we are working as expeditiously as possible. We appreciate the public's patience as we conduct this important law enforcement activity. And I think if there's evidence of a crime out there, I'm pretty sure that most residents of the area want to make sure that they do the best job possible of recovering that evidence. And they'll put up with a little bit of a traffic disruption to have that be done. But, you know, a lot of speculation about what is this related to. And right now, the FBI is not giving us any indication as to what the connection is in this investigation. But we are following it, and we have been in contact with the FBI, and we will get more information and give you more information when it is provided to us. 508-996-0500. I would also like to point your attention to WCVB's website, Channel 5's website. They have a story about how Brookline is dealing with an outbreak of whooping cough, more formally known as pertussis, but that the outbreak was identified 3 weeks ago at Brookline High School, and they now have 15 confirmed cases of whooping cough in Brookline. And it's something that will spread very quickly between kids. Now, they've said that 99% of the seniors at Brookline High School are vaccinated against whooping cough, but that high vaccination rates do not necessarily prevent outbreaks. Speaking of vaccinations, I just had to get a few yesterday. Went to Walmart to pick up a prescription, and they're like, oh, the pharmacist went over all your vaccination records, and you're due for your pneumonia, and you're due for your, what was the other one I got? I think it was for, I can't remember, amnesia? No. It was pneumonia and, hepatitis. So you're due for those shots, those vaccines. And I was like, all right, let's just do them. And now I got to go back and do another one in a month because I guess it's a 3-part pneumonia one, but then you don't need it again for the rest of your life. Okay, fine, whatever. I take pneumonia pretty seriously, though. The trial that I sat on had to do with pneumonia, and I learned a lot about pneumonia in those 2 or 3 weeks that we were on that trial. So, yes, please vaccinate me against that because I don't, like, that's what killed both of my grandparents. Granted, they were smokers, but still, I don't want to take that risk. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take my last break of this hour, and we'll be back in just a few moments. I want a little less conversation here. We love conversation here. 508-996-0500, and that is Elvis. You heard Phil reporting earlier that Elvis's blue suede shoes are going up for auction, and if anybody wants to loan me $150,000, I wouldn't mind having those. I did get a chance one time to try on one of Elvis's scarves. I was talking about Elvis. It was, I think, the anniversary of his death. And I was doing my Saturday morning show and was focused on Elvis throughout the course of the morning. And a guy called up and said, hey, how long are you there till? And I told him, and he's like, stay there. I've got something I'm going to bring by to show you. And he showed up with a brown paper bag. And when he opened up the brown paper bag, inside of it was like a Ziploc bag. And inside of that was a scarf that Elvis had worn in one of his concerts in Vegas. And, or I forget if it was in Vegas or not, but he wore this scarf and then, you know, they'd put it on him for a second and then they'd throw it out to the crowd. And this gentleman's wife caught that and he held on to it. He let me put that around my neck. So I had Elvis's scarf around my neck. Wouldn't be the same as having
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.